Hello, everybody, again. This is Winston of Happier Abroad, and I'm here again with my friend Steve R., who interviewed me a long time ago in my 38-minute interview with him that you can see on my site. And he's the host of Innervators Radio. And today we're going to be talking about comparisons between America and most other countries in a lot of different categories and subjects. Okay, well, let me welcome Steve again. How's it going, Steve?
Hey, real good, thanks. You know, why don't we start out? I think the last time we interviewed our topic, I think I mentioned how overrated America is and how overrated most of the women are on a global scale. You know, if you were to measure it on a global scale and you factor in other things like character, sweetness, you know, difference in how much more feminine some of the women are overseas, like the ones that giggle and clearly show they're happy with very little. Very little makes them happy. You know, in this comparison chart, I think down, you know, near the bottom, it talks about healthcare, and it's just absolutely ridiculous how our dysfunctional healthcare system here is in America. You know, we're conditioned to expect rate increases, yet there's no accountability in terms of costs. So everybody's picking the pockets of the average American, you know, and that's just one big way among many. People don't seem to add it all up. If they did, they'd realize that America is extremely overrated in many, many measurements. We might get into more. But let's just go right into the comparison chart that I'm seeing here. And you mentioned people live to work. And whereas overseas, people work to live, like in Europe, Latin America, Australia, they appreciate experiences rather than material things. So to make them happy, they don't feel the need to have all these consumer choices where I got to get that new car to be happy, depress the neighbors. It's more like life experiences, you know, special vacations with good friends and family that ultimately, when you're older, you're going to think back on. You're going to think about not that car that's depreciating, which is not an investment, by the way, people. If you really, you know, look at how rapidly cars depreciate, it's not exactly an investment. Okay, so cost of living, crazily expensive. And this was back, I don't know, years ago when you put this together. It's only gotten worse, right? The cost of living here in America.
Yeah, I've been out of the country for a few years. And then I come back and yeah, everything's just a lot more expensive than they used to be. I mean, usually you could get a restaurant dinner for $6 or $7, and now it's like $10 at least, you know, and with tip it's more, and with a drink it's more than that. It could go up to $15. And I was shocked to hear that Disneyland now costs like $100 or $130 to get in. And when I was a teenager in the late 80s, it costed like $20 or $25 to get in, and that's a ridiculous increase. I mean, it's just out of proportion, and especially with the economic troubles, with the high unemployment rate, I mean, it's just not fair or sane to have so many price increases, and there's just something wrong. I mean, something's out of balance in our economy. And
yeah, I would definitely agree with that, and we can certainly expand on that. That can take hours, no doubt. You mentioned the number three, women are selfish entitlement queens, and you know, I'd have to agree with that. We talked about how dysfunctional the dating scene is. That's a whole other topic, but if you're a guy and you run out of money and you're not, you know, caving into pressure of buying, you know, expensive furniture, expensive cars, going out to dinner far too much every week, you know, 4 or 5 nights a week, which is a complete waste of money, and not as healthy as cooking, which is much cheaper. You know, if that situation changes, which is the expectation of bigger houses, it seems like American women aren't so eager to downgrade. It's like they're going to replace you before they're going to downgrade their lifestyle. So I agree with you there.
Yeah, well, they're taught that they deserve the best of the best and should never settle. And you know, and that's like in the top 5 or 10% of men. And you know, most men don't fit in the top 5 or 10%. I mean, just being a nice guy with a stable job is not good enough. You have to be, you know, you have to have everything: looks, status, money, charm, charisma. You have to appease to all her needs and be almost perfect in every way. And it's just too much pressure, and it's not fair, and it's not normal.
People think that's normal. If you saw the difference overseas, you think it's normal. But then when you start to date people overseas, they just want a guy who's faithful, who has a stable job, if, you know, that's what they hope for. And the requirements, they don't have 50 of them. That's about it. That he's kind, he's faithful, and he has a stable job. Now, that's three things which are very realistic and very understandable and very obtainable and reachable. American women now, they've got like 50 requirements now. And if you don't meet them all, I guess they're just going to find somebody that can provide them, and they'll go without until they find that guy or get used by a player. So, you know, again, a big difference there. People are also segregated and paranoid of each other, you mentioned.
Yeah, I mean, like I said in the last discussion or broadcast, that people are like in a bubble. They, you know, there's a saying, every man is an island here. And they're just segregated. They just don't. I mean, even neighbors don't talk to each other much. You know, they might wave occasionally, but that's it. I mean, they don't get to know each other or invite each other over. There's just not a feeling of connection or of camaraderie, of true friendship. I mean, there are some quotes on my site where people said that, like in India, for instance, someone told me people may not say hi casually to everyone, or, you know, but if they get to know you, they'll do things to cement a friendship a lot quicker. They'll you know, than they will in America. You know, here people might smile superficially, but they won't do anything to bond with others or cement a friendship. And
well, you know, it's interesting you mentioned that people drift apart easily, and I can relate to that because I've had some good friends that have drifted away. And usually it's when they get married, and it's the influence of their new partner that has a lot of say in why you never hear from them anymore. So, you know, I'm sure that's not the case overseas. You don't have women saying, why are you talking to your friend? You know, it should be, you know, and they're thinking, the women here, that they should be controlled more. And guys don't like being controlled. They, you know, instinctively, well, I hate to say it, but they you know, used to like variety, but they like freedom. And it seems like I'm going off track here, but in America, guys seem to have to give up everything that makes them happy, and women expect to get everything they want. And especially in divorce, my goodness, how lopsided the law is. It's like nobody cares about a guy's feelings if he gets divorced. Nobody cares about his happiness. He's supposed to continue to sacrifice for the behalf of the kid, and oftentimes gets demonized. And it's just not the same. Overseas, women know that American men are great fathers. Sometimes they know they're better lovers. And, you know, there's a reason why it's not just the green card, that they oftentimes prefer American men. It's the way that they feel and treat them. So the friendships, the smiles, one must always pretend that everything is going great, right? That's what you say a lot, like having a great
day. A lot of immigrants and people that visit America say that too. They don't like having to always pretend that everything's great or always be positive if they don't feel positive. I mean, but in America, you pretty much have to do that. And even people from Europe, from Ukraine, from Russia tell me that it's really fake to always, you know, act positive if you're not, and it's just not authentic. It's not truthful, and people who are aware and down to earth can see that, and it's one aspect of American culture that's fake, because in other countries you don't have to always act positive or pretend to be positive. You can be more honest and truthful, and that's the sad thing about America, is that people place positivity and political correctness over truth and honesty. And that's sad, because truth and honesty should be at the top, not political correctness or positivity.
Absolutely. People need to think out of the box much more than they have been, and stop conforming and questioning the status quo. You mentioned segregated competitive vibe. Absolutely. You know, back in the suburbs, remember, you're supposed to go, you know, do what society tells you to do, right? Go to college. Waste 5 years there, not realizing till it's too late that experience is king. You're supposed to, you know, obviously not date enough, because you're not. So that person that finally comes along, you're supposed to put her on a pedestal, I guess. Get married, go to the suburbs where it's lonely. You drive down the same streets, go to the same mall, eat at the same places. You don't meet people from other countries, so you're in a box, you're in a bubble, you don't know any better. You're uninformed, really. You watch baseball to fill in the lonely, happiness, and you pretend that material things are what's going to, you know, make you happy. And you end up, like many that I notice, are insecure. People are so insecure, they're trying to outdo you with their brand new car that they can't even afford. And what do you think about that?
Yeah. People are just too materialistic in America. And there's a saying that's really true that I thought up, which is that in America, the human soul has been replaced by the pursuit of money and materialism. And that's why, compared to most countries, Americans just seem so soulless. They have, their eyes are empty and soulless. And there's just no feeling that you're around people that are soulful or authentic or deep, you know. So it's easy to feel alienated here, especially if you're soulful or authentic or you're a sensitive person.
Well, you know, you're absolutely right. You mentioned in the last one, and I think I first brought this up to you, how Americans lack a curiosity, which is a big, big, big problem. If you're not curious, you know, then maybe one of the problems you mentioned, that meeting people is restricted to closed cliques, which is a huge problem. And part of that is because people aren't curious to get to know other people. I guess they don't realize that other people may have some wisdom that can benefit them. Some awareness, can help make them grow as a person. But instead, they're insecure. They think they know it all, and they really don't. And I don't understand why they lack a curiosity to want to get to know people. Everybody's got something of wisdom that others can benefit from. I get that. I know that a curiosity pays off. But most Americans don't, and that's just ridiculous. Meeting people, so you mentioned that women are conditioned to despise men, look down on them. That is conditioning, much like the programming that society in America, the media, et cetera, makes women feel that they've got to spend to be happy. And unfortunately now, if on the single scene, we talked about this, that women are avoiding eye contact, and guys are just not dating as much as they should be, and the vast majority of them are going to have big regrets when they're 60. But they may not even realize that they regret this, because they might figure it out when they are 60 and it's too late, or never. And the bottom line is, you only live your 30s and 40s once. Now, you mentioned, we covered this last time, females do not want to look or act feminine. And, you know, there's the obvious dress. They're angry and spoiled and have a bad attitude. But I want to add the trash talking. I mentioned that last time. They're trash talkers more than anybody in the world. I would bet money. And they you know, in the office, they start office politics. Some people, I've heard somebody say, there's too many shit starters. And that makes everybody suffer at the office. Now, you mentioned also single men outnumber single women here in America. And you're absolutely right on the money. I had somebody else told me from Peru that his explanation was there was an influx of male immigrant workers in the tech industry, especially on the West Coast of America. And the statistics definitely confirm that. You mentioned women don't really need money anymore, maybe because they're so empowered financially. In fact, they're getting a lot of the jobs now, because in sales, a lot of the jobs are sales related, and women buy, or people buy from women. Maybe they trust them. Maybe if they're a single guy, they think they stay on the phone, they're going to get a date with them. And for many employers, I mean, not all of them, but some, they just want another skirt to chase. I hate to say it. I know how that sounds, but that's reality.
It's true.
Yeah, and we're talking about reality here, okay? We're not going to sugarcoat things. And then back to another point, women don't, you know, they have unrealistic standards. They're just too good for everyone. They think they're much better than they are. I've said it before, even a 7 thinks she's a 9. Holding out for a 9, if you're in the majority of men, you go without, and you're wondering what's going on. It's just a big problem. And they're always, the attractive ones are unavailable. I mean, guys, think about it. When you're out during the day, it's not just at the bars or the clubs. When you're out during the daytime, look how many women have rings, how many women avoid being hit on. They avoid eye contact with you. And it's like anyone attractive, it's either they're too good, like I'm saying, they're too overweight, they're too young, or they're too taken. Look at the rings. You don't find that in the countries that we've pinpointed, that we've put effort into, showcasing. And that would be certainly in much of Asia, you mentioned in Europe. You can see it, Winston, in your videos, how happy you are, how confident you are. It's just amazing how much of a different person you are in your videos. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, there's a guy named Grunt on my forum who made a good point that if you come out of your shell when you're overseas, that person who's out of the shell is the real you, whereas the person in America is a prisoner, nothing more. Because in America, everything's just so repressed. Whereas in Europe, everything is more social and more flowing and more just more open. You know, the social scene just flows a lot more naturally. And it's ironic because somebody else, one of my culture advisor, Ladislav, he said that in the 19th century, people thought the opposite, that America was more, you know, wild and free and spontaneous, whereas Europe was more rigid and repressed. I don't know if that's true or not, but that was the impression that historians write. And now it's the complete opposite. I mean, Europe has evolved and people are just more passionate and just more natural and more, they just seem more alive. That's the most important word, alive. And by the way, this comparison chart we're looking at, I mean, you can find it on my website at happierabroad.com. There's a link to it at the top of the homepage. You can just see the link. It says comparison chart. And you'll find that at the top of the homepage. And I should also say that even though the stuff we're talking about here is taboo, guys talk about this stuff. They do talk about it in private conversations, especially the expats that live overseas. A lot of American men or Western men who live overseas, they'll talk about all these comparisons in private conversations, but for some reason nobody has the guts to make this type of comparison public. And I'm one of the few people that do, you know. I mean, a few other people do too, but they don't get to it in depth like me and my friends do. It's not as in depth. But these are important. I mean, there's just so many differences that reveal how insane and dysfunctional and unfriendly America is in general. But people are afraid to talk about them because you're in society, you're taught to blame yourself. You're taught that society is normal and that, you know, the only problems are with the individual, which is not true. Because I always say, you know, if I'm the problem, then how come when I go to Europe, women are a million times more friendly and approachable and open? How can that be my fault? Logically, it can't be. So that debunks it right there.
Yeah, and same for me in Asia. When I went first time last year, and again this year in May, same thing. It's like amazing how many phone numbers I was able to get by barely even trying. And here it's like, my goodness, you're lucky to get, you know, one phone number from a girl in a year that it's actually a real phone number. And it's like, come on. I mean, women overseas tell me how handsome they think I am, my green eyes. I mean, I'm getting compliments left and right overseas. It doesn't get to my head because I'm invisible here. And it's not just me, my brother, my good friend who's even better looking. I mean, he's invisible. And so, you know, here it makes you think that there's something wrong with you, yet overseas, it's like you're almost
a rock
star.
Even if you get a phone number in America, almost every time the woman screens out the number. She doesn't even pick up the phone. American women
do game.
That.
If you
went back to the 1980s, they would answer their phone. They don't screen their calls
Very
out.
Very good point.
And in other countries, women will answer their phone. They don't have a need to screen their calls out because they're not paranoid. They don't demonize men.
Yeah,
they
and niceness, you know, isn't rewarded here. It's seen as weak. It's this game that if you're nice, you're weak. It's like, oh, like you said, you know, good is bad, up is down. Overseas, you don't have to play these unnecessary games. And by the way, you're not playing them with women that are younger, they're sweet, petite, attitude-free in most cases. You know, it takes a lot less to make them happy. They don't pressure you to spend to be happy. And, you know, again, in the last, you know, conversation we had, I'm 44. I dated a 19-year-old and many 20-something-year-olds.
Wow,
and you
amazing.
Wouldn't even, most people wouldn't believe how many people that I dated and slept with, so I'm not even going to say it because they're not even going to believe it. But that's okay because I'm not going to have a huge regret later in life. And I've put together a perk on referral perks that I can change a guy's life forever if he, you know, shows that he thinks beyond his own self-interest. So I've put something that's unmatched and a solution that my brother got to benefit from, and there's another testimonial So nice, yeah, the whole nice thing. Co-workers don't usually eat together here. They go their separate ways. People you meet online, oh my God, don't get me started with online. The women get bombarded 50 inquiries a day. Guys think, oh, I'm not getting a response. I'm going to have to do more of it. So now the average or better woman is getting, like, I don't know how many hundreds a week of inquiries. It's going to her head, whether you know it or not. And you're not, of course you're not getting a response. All of a sudden they become way pickier than they otherwise would be. And you're seeing that offline now. And during the day, when it's supposed to be destiny, there was a time in the 80s, you mentioned the 80s, where women, maybe they didn't date for a few months, and they appreciate getting hit on because they think, oh, it's meant to be. It's something they like to tell their friends. How did you meet? Oh, yeah, we met during the day, not at a bar. Oh, well, guess what? That's not the case anymore. They don't want to meet you. They avoid eye contact because they want to be the ones doing the choosing. Unbelievable. They want to choose the best of the best, the top 10%. So they avoid eye contact unless you're in the top 10%. You know, that's real fair, isn't it? They can care. By the way, they can care less about fairness. I mean, especially when you get divorced, you'll certainly find that out the hard way. But they will throw the spin that, oh, they just want your green card, American women. Because, see, they don't want to be compared. They know deep down if they're going to be compared on a global scale to women overseas, it's going to show how selfish they are. It's going to show they're not as good as they thought they were. When there's women, for example, in Vietnam, much higher percentage of beauties in Vietnam. Oh, my God, there's no comparison. Now when you factor in that they're sweet, they're okay dating much older men. I can go on and on that topic. Healthcare, getting back to that, insanely overpriced. A lot of people go to Thailand on medical tourism for a reason, because there's checks and balances there. There isn't this outrageous, unchecked, you know, never-ending rate increase year after year that you're conditioned to expect. The price of, you know, medical supplies aren't, you know, 60 times more than they should be. So everybody's picking your pocket here in America, whether you know that or not. And it's already off the charts bad enough, but it's only going to get worse.
Health is something so important, you know. And unfortunately, one of the biggest causes of bankruptcy in America is healthcare costs. And that's sad because, I mean, if somebody gets sick, they shouldn't have to go bankrupt and not be able to afford care. I mean, that's insane. It's inhuman. It's not right. And unfortunately, the privatized American healthcare system makes it
for
that
profit.
Way. Yeah, yeah, and every other industrialized country has a national healthcare system so that people don't have to go bankrupt from medical bills usually. And this even includes England, you know. People lump England and America together often, and I don't think that's true because, you know, I mean, even England is more sane than America in some ways. You know, the healthcare is better, and people I know even say that the English women they've met have been more down-to-earth and easier to connect with and more mature, too.
Well, how many ways is the average American getting their pockets picked? I mean, if you add up all taxes, including sales tax, 10% in California,
license,
right?
Tabs,
inflation,
so
tax, that's a hidden tax. I mean, we're talking about half your money goes to taxes. Now your pockets are getting picked, and they have been, through healthcare, which is absolutely insane how bad that is. And then some people get fooled, and especially if the women, you know, is putting pressure on, hey, let's give money to cancer. Because the cartels know how easy it is to fool most uninformed Americans. So basically, how many times have you heard of the American Cancer Society, et cetera, et cetera? How many decades have they been saying, give us money so we can find a cure? How many decades? When's that going to end? Are they ever going to talk about prevention? I mean, we talked about this earlier. Are they ever going to mention that the cause? How about we pinpoint what the cause is before we somehow...
Well, it's more profitable in the maintaining continuous treatment than curing it or preventing it. Another point I wanted to make was that it's ironic that there's this myth that America is the land of the free, but if the cost of living here is among the most expensive in the world, if not the most expensive in the world, it can't be the land of the free, because if you have so many, if you have to pay for this and that and so many costs and such a high cost of living, you have to become a workaholic in order to make ends meet. And if you're a workaholic and have no free time, then you're not free. You're pretty much on a treadmill all the time and your life is full of stress and there's no freedom, there's no peace of mind, there's no fun, there's no playfulness. So obviously it's not the land of the free if you're not free to do what you want, and because of all these outrageous costs of living. Whereas, you know, if you were in Thailand and everything was much cheaper, food is $1 and apartments are like $100 or $200 to rent, then you have more free time to go out and have fun and to meet women, go out to the beach, and you're a lot more free than in Thailand or even in Mexico than here. And that's ironic because you have this illusion that America's the land of the free when it's anything but. Plus, the laws in America are more than they are compared to Mexico, and they're more strictly enforced. So if you have more laws than less, then you're not free, especially if they're enforced. And if you have a much higher cost of living, then you're not free because you have to work more or get a really good job to make ends meet. So in reality, everything is the opposite of what the media and the culture tells you about America being the land of the free, and it's based on false premises.
It is.
You know, it's like a religion. There's no basis for saying America is the land of the free. It's just something they pump like a religion without a basis. And so if everyone's chanting it, then everyone else chants it like a religion.
Back in the 50s, I mean, there was more freedom. There was more level playing field. There was less corruption. Today, corruption is off the charts. The playing field is anything but level, so equal opportunity, that's out the window. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. You also mentioned, when you go out alone, it makes you look like losers to others. So, you mentioned, when you were in Europe, there'd be girls, women at a restaurant by themselves, and you were by yourself, so you go up and talk to them, and they weren't avoiding eye contact. You can see the smiles, and they didn't feel like they were pretending they were important, that you're lucky to get a half a minute of their time. I noticed in your videos, they kept talking to you for, a half hour or longer. They're not pretending that they're somebody that they're not. It's amazing. And, an ever-growing number of people don't bother to make time for their friends. It can take months to make new friends here in America. It's just not the same overseas. When you have problems, emotional breakdown, this is land of the therapist, you're saying, right? So many people, what did you say, like half the people have seen a therapist? That's insane.
Yeah, maybe half or one-third. I mean, they've either seen a therapist, psychiatrist, or they've taken antidepressants. And what most Americans don't know is that in other countries, it's unheard of to have to see a psychiatrist or to take antidepressants. That's just so abnormal and unnatural, and most people don't realize that that's an American thing. In other countries, even in England, it's not common to have to see a psychiatrist, at least not to the degree as in America. And that speaks volumes.
So does this. Speaking of prescription drugs, I read an article, and I have every reason to believe this article, that it was between 50, I can't remember if it was 50 or 60% of all the world's prescription drugs were written in America. So we're talking 5% of the world's population is taking the majority of prescription drugs. Don't you think that maybe people are getting fooled into thinking they need something in a for-profit way instead of natural remedies?
And it doesn't solve any problems, because most of the toxic problems are in the society, how insane it is and how it expects you to be something you're not. And so, taking drugs to alter your brain chemistry isn't going to, or to make you happy isn't going to solve that problem. The problem is in society. And the proof is that in other countries, people don't have to take antidepressants or seek psychiatrists. And in fact, the World Health Organization on their own website said that America has the highest rates of mental illness in the entire world.
They
admit that on the World Health Organization.
Yeah, another reason is people, they don't know their neighbors. It's like this rule, you're not supposed to know your neighbors because what if something bad goes happen? Whereas overseas, it's like, come on over for dinner. I mean, let's talk about things. Let's talk about life. Let's get to know you. And once again, it goes back to curiosity. These people also, not only are they kinder, but they have more of a curiosity. They get it. They're not divided. They understand the power of teamwork, of collaborating, of helping each other out in some way. Whereas here, it's like you're divided, and that's pathetic. Okay, so like you said, you hit rock bottom, and there's really nobody that's going to help you out. In fact, a lot of people will feel better about themselves. They see you hit rock bottom. They almost want you to do worse because that makes them feel better. If you're doing worse and they're not doing good, well, they feel they're doing better than you. It puts a smile on their face. What's up with that? Personalities are toxic. It's too common. You said people can't stand each other. You're right. It's this whole culture that needs to change, and people need to wake up, and they need to measure happiness in other ways on a global standard. Especially if you're a single guy, you need to stop overvaluing that first person that comes your way that is likely to be a trash talker, not as feminine, not as young, not as sweet, not as thin. And, you know, we put something in place that, you know, we've got a ton of members that are sweet, petite, young, kind, don't pressure you to spend. So, you know, it's one of those things where you can decide to get out of the box, have a curiosity, and let it pay off for you, or you can continue to be in denial, stay in the box, have huge regrets when you're 60 and it's too late, and you finally wake up, if at all. I mean, that's a choice that you can now make. What do you think, Winston?
Well, definitely. I mean, you got to remember the most important, precious thing in life is, you know, your health and your time, you know, because money can be replaced, it can be earned back, but once you lose the time, you know, you can never get it back, and it's more important to you know, go where you're happy and live a happier life than to regret it. I mean, the worst thing that can happen is to regret the last few years that you've spent, because you can't get it back. And so it's important to do what you need to get out of the U.S. matrix ASAP. Otherwise, you'll regret it more later. You'll just become more depressed when you're here, because, you know, there's just not much you can do here except make money and shop and consume. I mean, there's just no connection to other people. People aren't friendly. Women aren't friendly. It's just not fun, you know, especially if you're a man that likes women. It's just not fun. Because they're just so hostile and unfriendly, and there's a negative tension.
But here's the thing: a lot of guys don't want to admit it. They don't want to admit that one of the most important aspects of their life, in terms of their happiness, their love life, their dating life, that they're failing. They don't want to admit to that. But really, you know, it's like, be a man, admit it. You know, like I was telling you, I was married for 14 years, got divorced. You got thrown into the single scene, and I should have just embraced it. But the problem is that in the 4 years prior to my awareness and going overseas, you know, I counted something like, I don't know how many truly exciting nights, and I don't like my weekends being wasted, and even weeknights, because I know it doesn't have to be that way anymore. But out of 15 exciting nights that I counted, approximately, it was 11 of them took place overseas in 2 months. Now, what does that say for the remaining 4 years? I just didn't have excitement, and at least I can admit it, because I wanted to do something about it, and I have. And now I'm out of the matrix, and I'm a much happier guy. My life has been changed forever, and it's a choice that I made. But I had to first admit that I wasn't getting results, and I knew I wasn't alone. I knew I was in the same boat, and I admitted that I was failing in one aspect of my life. And that's what it takes, is to admit it. Be a man and admit it. Then you're going to be able to do something about it.
Definitely. I mean, most guys are in denial. They just focus on work, and if people say, ask them if they're dating anyone, they'll say, yeah, I'm dating, and you know, and
then you ask them specifics, and they trip up. You can tell they're lying, and when you ask, like, where did you go? Where did you meet this girl? What's her name? And this has happened to me. I asked some guy. He's like, oh yeah, really? Tell me, give me more specifics. And it's like they want to avoid it because it's become
obvious. Or they'll just say they don't have the time right now. They're focusing on other things, you know.
Yes.
They'll always have excuses, you know.
Yeah.
But deep down, you know, the average guy just has no choices in America. I mean, everything is against them.
Everything. And we'll go into that.
Factors.
We'll go into the other factors beyond what's on your website. So, in our next interview.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll do this again. So, anyways, thank you all for listening. Hope you found this interesting and that you've learned something. And to learn more, go to www.happierabroad.com. And we have a lot more information on there, including a big forum with a lot of intellectual, free-thinking people and expats on there. So feel free to visit us. I'm Winston Wu again, and thanks for listening. Take care. Bye now.